First, you must take some wine. Can you describe it?
It's a nice red wine.
I think you can do better.
A bold wine with a hint of sophistication and lacking in pretension. Actually, I was just talking about myself.
You are not wrong. Wine is like people. The vine takes all the influences and life all around it. It absorbs them and it gets its personality.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Everyone's entitled to a little confusion in their lives. I practically thrive on it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. And yes, we have a great show ahead for you today. Simply because I am getting ready, I am less than 12 hours from taking off and flying out to torment my friends in Napa Valley. Yes, consider this a warning shot for those of you who are listening. When this airs tomorrow, I will be there. But past that, I started thinking, I'm leaving for Napa. That opens up so many great topics for today. You know, talking about travel, talking about the hassles of landing an SFO, talking about seeing the countryside. But yet there was only one thing I could focus on, and today's topic is a truly noble topic. It's a topic that's easy to adapt, it's eager to flourish, it's very malleable, it's highly vigorous, it's eager to please, it's bold, it's world-renowned. It has a strong character, it has many charming personalities. It's respected even when it's a newcomer, it's always a benchmark for most, it's classical, it's one of a kind, and it plays well with others. It's always fashionable, it's sunny, it's bright, it's occasionally sweet, hopelessly sharp. It's a hit at parties and a must-have for dinner. Obviously, it's ageless, timeless, and elegant. And surprisingly enough, I am not talking about myself. Yes, I am talking about today's topic, my favorite topic in the world. Yes, we are talking about Chardonnay. And for those of you who are red wine drinkers and who are reaching for that knob right now, pretend I just slapped your hand, because you're going to learn about this noble grape. You're going to have fun, and you are going to learn to like this wine if I have to talk to you for 7 hours. So just get over it. We are talking about Chardonnay today and all the great characteristics it can bring. So when we look at things like that, of course, my wine recommendations today are going to be two Chardonnays. But I am going to go off this continent. I am actually going to venture forth with two different wines today. And in doing so, I'm doing this because there's great stories behind how these created. The first Chardonnay I'm going to recommend is Matua Valley, and it is from New Zealand. And Matua Valley, very unique growing area. New Zealand, for those of you who pay attention and like facts, it is the most southerly growing region in the world. And it does some amazing things with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. It's a cool climate, so the grapes have great acidity. They have great mineral flavors. They have great fruit flavors. They can have great citrus overtones. And that's definitely what Matua Valley does. For those of you who like points, it's a Best Buy. It was an 89 by Parker. But it is very refreshing, and it goes great whether it's that lovely afternoon, 2 o'clock while watching races, or whether it's 7 o'clock in the evening and you're having dinner parties and people over. It is definitely refreshing and definitely something to look at. So Matua Valley, Chardonnay from New Zealand. Remember the New Zealand part. The other wine I'm going to recommend is Yangara Estate Chardonnay, and this is from Australia. Some of you may remember Peter Fraser, the winemaker for Yangara Estate, came on the show. I know all the women out there can definitely remember his sexy accent. But Yangara Estate, it's a great oak balm, typical of Australia. It's got a lot of flesh to it. It has a lot of flavor to it. You get a little oaky and vanilla flavors, but overall you get that great apple. You get some tropical fruit. It's one of those meaty wines. For those of you who are getting ready to grill, if you're doing chicken, if you're doing pork, even sausage on the grill, it can hold up to whatever you're doing. The Waldorf salads, the great salads of summer that have the tomatoes in them, that have the green asparagus, anything you want to throw at this Chardonnay, it can pretty much stand up to. So the two wine recommendations today, Yangara Estate Chardonnay from Australia and Matua Valley from New Zealand. Now, of course, y'all are wondering why I picked Australia and New Zealand. And since we're doing a story about Chardonnay, we have to do a little bit of history. And of course, we'll go into history through some emails and some phone calls about what Chardonnay is all about. But I think this is really cool. Chardonnay suits my personality because it's a rogue grape. In the sense, it's been around forever. But because it became so predominant in Australia, people ask, well, how does it do well? Well, certainly, Chardonnay has been down in Australia since 1766. But it didn't really take off until a small theft was involved. Yes, I said theft. The kind people at Penfolds a while ago were trying to try different clones. They had a whole bunch of experimental grapes they had brought over from Europe. They were trying to decide what would work and what wouldn't. Well, one very pioneering winemaker decided that he liked the looks of those grapevines and decided they would look great on his property. So sure enough, he climbed over a barbed wire fence. He went into the vineyard at the dead of night and stole the vines. History was made. MVW Winery was established. And of course now, ironically enough, the clones that Penfolds had picked are now continent-wide in Australia because of a small theft. Now, the same thing happened in New Zealand. New Zealand, when you think of New Zealand, most people think of Sauvignon Blanc. They think of Pinot Noir. Well, Chardonnay was the most widely planted grape down there for ages. And a lot of people are like, well, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, those were kind of there when the island found its feet in the wine business. How did Chardonnay get there? Well, once again, enterprising souls decided that despite the ban on strange plants coming to the island, and despite the fact that they weren't really sure if they'd grow, for those of you who remember the movie French Kiss, when he's stealing diamonds and he's stealing vines, thank you, Kent, for the lovely intro and tying into all this. Sure enough, that's what some pioneering people at KWV did. They stole a whole bunch of vines and they put them in the ground there. Of course, by stealing them and the government not knowing they were there, in essence, they were open for a fine. But here we are 30 years later, Chardonnay is flourishing and giving us the great flavors we're getting out of things like Matua Valley. So thank you, the kind Australians and the New Zealands who decided that thievery is the best way to propagate a species. My hat's off to you. And of course, my palate certainly respects that as well. Chardonnay has always been one of the noble grapes. And another small little aside, when we talk about noble grapes are Cabernet Sauvignon, they are Chardonnay, and they are Pinot Noir. I'm sure there's some of you out there, you Francophiles, who will say, oh, well, you have to include Merlot, you have to include Cabernet Franc, you have to include Petit Verdot. Yeah, no, we're not talking about those today. We are talking about Chard and Cab and Pinot. Chard is a very, very unique grape in the sense that no one really could get a handle on where it came from. No one really understood how it became the monster it did. But when you look around the world, it is almost the most planted grape worldwide. There is nowhere where Chardonnay doesn't flourish. There is nowhere where Chardonnay doesn't show its true colors. Whether you're in London, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in New Zealand, whether you are in Greece, whether you're in Libya, whether you're in the United States, even Alaska has Chardonnay planted, which is why it is important to focus on my favorite grape today and to break you out of all the concepts that you may have had. For ages, we had ABC, anything but Chardonnay. Starting around 1985, people decided that Chardonnay got too oaky, it got too baseball bat-like, it got too, I don't know, let's go out and chew on a tree limb flavors to it. And I have to admit, a lot of our winemakers got a little bit heavy-handed with the oak usage. But lately, if you have not tried a Chardonnay, I encourage you to do so. Whether you're looking at Russian River, whether you're looking at Napa, or looking at Down Under, now is the time. Step up on your soapboxes, reach that top shelf, pull down a bottle of Chardonnay, and that way we'll have a lot to talk about today on The Crush. We're going to take a small break, and when we get back, I will enlighten you more about my favorite passion.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 800-500-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote.
800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and today your Chardonnay sipping diva is getting to ramble on about her favorite topic. But before you think that I stand alone and I'm just trying to persuade you to my own flavors, we have an interesting guest with us today. We have Paul Greggutt. He is a Paul Greggutt, GREGUTT.com. He is the author of Washington Wines and Wineries, The Essential Guide. And he is joining us because he wrote a great article for the Seattle Times called "California Chardonnays Still Dominate the Popularity Game." Any man who's going to put a title out there is definitely after my heart. So, Paul, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
It is always nice to find someone else who enjoys Chardonnay as much as I do. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why Chardonnay is essential to you.
Well, I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest. I've been writing about wine for about 20 years now for a number of publications, newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. And I focus on wines in the newspaper that are going to have the broadest appeal and wines that people can actually find, not so much for the collectors, but for the average person that just wants a good glass of wine with their dinner.
Well, we always enjoy that. And anyone who can be down to earth and not be snobby about it, I like it. People are value driven today, and I think more people need to try wine. And so you seem to join the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I do have, a Washington palate, and I oftentimes focus on the wines of the Northwest and occasionally indulge in a little California bashing. But in this instance, I really thought that perhaps it was time to take a good long look. I tasted about 80 or 100 different Chardonnays from all over California, and before that I had gone down and visited wineries in the Central Coast and Monterey in particular, because these are areas that are still a little bit under the radar, and you can find some real deals.
I can understand your need to want to bash something. I regularly bash the French, and before the show's out today, I'm going to have to talk about them a little bit. But when you're looking at California Chardonnays, did you find anything that just really excited you?
Yeah, there are a couple of trends that I think are really improving things across the board. It used to be that most California Chardonnays were very oaky, and that was a popular style, maybe 15, 20 years ago. But these days, more and more wineries and winemakers are looking to make more elegant wines, pull back on the oak, sometimes eliminate it completely. It's not as easy, honestly, to make a really good flavorful Chardonnay without all that oak flavor. But when you do, you get the real experience of the fruit, and you get oftentimes wines that are a little fresher and better with food.
I definitely have seen the trend change, and it's something I am happy for. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm tired of chewing on Chardonnays that have baseball bat connotations to them.
There you go.
But
yeah.
I want to throw this back to you, because something that I have found refreshing, whether it's the wines of Columbia Crest, whether it's the wines of Chateau St. Michel, they're doing some amazing Chardonnays up in Washington State these days, too, aren't they?
Well, I'm glad you give me the chance to ring the bell for Washington. So much of what's done up here is in very limited quantities, and it's even hard to find some of the best Chardonnays when you live up here. Things like Beja, I don't know if you've had the chance to taste their wines, but they're just spectacular, but they're mailing list only. However, you can find the Columbia Crest, the Two Vines, the St. Michel, and they make several different price levels of Chardonnay and some single vineyard stuff, too. There's a new winery also that I think you'll be able to find without too much trouble called Mercer Estates, and they have a Chardonnay in about the $15 or $16 range. That's a real pretty bottle of wine with that kind of classic Washington State acidity that really gives it some life and some lift.
It's nice to have things that are bubbly, and I think invariably when we look at the Chardonnay grape, we can go around the world and name how things taste. Characterize for our listeners what a Washington State Chardonnay is.
Well, as is true of most Washington State wines, white wines, let's say, what really stands out is the fruit, the brightness of the fruit, and that's often a function of the extra long growing season and growing days. We're farther north, so we get a couple hours of sunlight more than vineyards to the south, and the harvests go out oftentimes into late September, October, mid-October, so you get that hang time. The fruit is bright, the acids are vivid, they're not sour, these aren't sour wines, but that acidity is what gives them some backbone and a spine and really cuts through the food.
I think a lot of people have this image in their brain that Washington State is just like Seattle, so that means it rains all the time up there, so I think people may shy away from some of the wines because they think they may not have enough acidity. I don't think most listeners understand that Washington State, for a good part, is desert.
Exactly, that's why I wrote the book. It's really aimed at a national audience. Two-thirds of Washington, which we call Eastern Washington, is in fact desert, and temperatures in the summer oftentimes get into the upper 90s or past 100 degrees. It's irrigated. There's very few vineyards in the state that are not irrigated, and that gives the growers a lot of control over how the grapes ripen, but we have plenty of heat. The heat is never an issue. The only issue that we have up here are sometimes the occasional freeze in the winter.
That does happen, but see, what I think is really, really neat is our listeners need to understand that to make a really good bottle of wine, to have a great vine, the vines, as much as we hate it, they need to be abused. They need to struggle. And what better place for a Chardonnay grape to struggle is right there in the desert near the Columbia River Valley.
That's right. We like to abuse our vines up here.
some people are going to call in and say we're just vine abusers all the way around.
Well, I'm glad you understand that it can be a good thing.
It has to be a good thing. Well, since you wrote the Essential Guide to Washington Wines and Wineries, what are two essential Washington Chardonnays you'd recommend to our listeners?
Well, here's a new one. And remembering, you can always find these things online. There's a new winery called Tranche, T-R-A-N-C-H-E.
That's even new to me.
Yeah, there's so many of them, but this is a real score. Their Chardonnay, not inexpensive. It's $30, but if you put it in a lineup with $30 Chardonnays from elsewhere, it'll really stand out. It's from a vineyard called Celilo, has some of the oldest Chardonnay in the state. It's just a very polished and beautifully rendered bottle of wine. Other than that, I'll give you another one that perhaps you haven't had a chance to try. It's called Boudreaux Cellars. The winemaker's originally from Louisiana.
Actually, I've had it. My family's from Boudreaux. Someone sent me a bottle of this thinking I'd like it.
Okay, well, he's got his new 2007 Chardonnay. I think it's the best he's ever done.
Well, that is great. See, you've even taught us something. You can teach our listeners some new Chardonnays and some facts about Washington State. And, of course, anytime I can find a new Chardonnay to get my little paws on, I'm a much happier girl.
Well, there you go. You try the Boudreaux, get some of Beja if you can, and that Tranche, and I think you'll be very pleased.
All right. In parting, quick question. Do you drink Chardonnay on a regular basis, or are you just writing about it?
Well, I do taste a lot of Chardonnay. I just did a column that's going to run on Chablis.
Okay.
And if I'm drinking a bottle of Chardonnay for pure pleasure, for just me, because you got to sometimes step outside of Washington and California and the West Coast, it's going to be a bottle of Premier Cru Chablis.
Okay, we'll forgive you anyway. For our listeners, we have been talking with Paul Greggett. He was the author of Washington Wines and Wineries, The Essential Guide, and you can find him at paulgreggett, G-R-E-G-U-T-T.com. Paul, thank you very much for being part of The Crush and helping me toot my favorite varietal's horn.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, more on the great and noble grape of Chardonnay when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, excited to be talking with you today about Chardonnay. We listened to Paul Greggett's idea about what's going on with Chardonnay in Washington State, but that certainly doesn't limit us to a worldwide phenomenon. But before we get off on that, I've got to answer an email that will put us in the right direction. This comes from Connie in Arizona. Connie writes, Laura, why is Chardonnay named Chardonnay? That's a very relevant question. A lot of people around the world ask, well, how did Pinot get to be called Pinot? No one 90% of the time can figure out why some things are called what they are. Chardonnay, however, is named after a village in France. It is part of the Mâcon region. It's the southern portion of Burgundy. And interestingly enough, they just celebrated their 1,000th anniversary. 1,000th anniversary of Chardonnay. I love the sound of that. What's interesting is the word comes from, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, and I'm sure I have a lot of friends out there who can help me pronounce it, Cardonicum. And what Cardonicum means is a place full of thistles. So Chardonnay is named after a place full of thistles. For those of you who are on the same page with me, you can relate to the fact that my head feels like a place full of thistles after I've had 3 or 4 bottles. So I can see somehow where that digressed and became a perfect name. That's where Chardonnay most likely originated, and so they just took the name of the vine from the village where it proliferated the most. So there we do have to give hats off to our French friends, and I'm sure I'll be speaking about that later in the show. But surprisingly enough, I do admit from time to time the show is all about you, not all about me, and we encourage those of you who have opinions or comments, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1, drop a call on the wine line, and we will get you on the show. Or you can email us, info@winecrush.com. Like for those of you out there who knew how to say Cardonicum, I suggest you call on the wine line so I can hear it enunciated. But right now, I think I'll be brave and go to the wine line. And right now, we've got Amy from Seattle. Amy, welcome to The Crush.
I'm having family over for Sunday brunch and was curious about some good white wines.
that are available, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc. We like sweet, but not too sweet.
Fair enough. It seems like we're getting a lot of questions these days about Sunday brunch. I see other people are feeling a little rough on Saturdays and want something good to start their Sundays with. Amy, Sunday brunch is one of those delicate things where a lot of people will tell you with eggs and greens that wine won't go. That is flat out untrue. Chardonnay is a great fit, and something to think about is whether or not you're putting different kind of ingredients into your eggs or what kind of things you're serving. If you're serving quiches, if they have greens in them, they have spinach, they have green onions, anything, you can look at the different ranges of Chardonnay and see what kind of flavors you want. If you're doing an ambrosia or doing fruit plates, once again, Chardonnays can run these different flavors. If you want to look down towards Santa Barbara, you can get great Chardonnays that have flavors such as pineapple, kiwi, melon, which obviously will tie in very well with any of the summertime fruits you're going to do. If you want something a little grassier, if you want something that has a little more of an herbaceous characteristic, they have great things up in the Russian River Valley. Whether it's Rodney Strong with its green apple and its little grassy flavors, or whether you want to look even to a hotter climate and look down to Australia, they have wines that'll go with it. When you're looking at Sauvignon Blancs with brunch, it's always kind of a touch-and-go thing. But I did see something very, very cool. We just did a whole little thing about the race, and someone invited me over for a race party. And they served a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, and they put a little wedge of kiwi on the glass. Now, I am not an advocate of putting anything in wine. The only thing you should put in wine at any given time is your tongue. You don't need to put ice in it. You don't need to put Chambord in it. You certainly don't need to put orange juice in it. That's just sacrilegious, unless it's really, really bad wine. But well, that's a whole nother show. But it was a great component to put that little slice of kiwi on the side of the glass. Because the Sauvignon Blanc, it really brought forth the fruit flavors, and it just looked festive. So if you're looking for something cool for brunch, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay definitely are the way to go. And of course, if you like the idea of putting fruit on glasses, it is always pretty to see a strawberry atop a glass of champagne. Well, Amy, I hope that helped and hope it gave you some ideas about what you should be doing for your Sunday brunch. And of course, call us. Let us know how brunch went and exactly why so many people are doing so many brunches lately. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and bite the bullet now so I can continue on with the show, and I'm going to take another email. This is from Darren in Aspen, and Darren writes, "You recommend Chardonnays all the time, yet you don't like the French. How can you like Chardonnay and not talk about Burgundy or Chablis?" Darren, this is very, very simple. I like Chardonnay, ergo I'm going to like Burgundy, I'm going to like Chablis. I talk about the French because as a whole, I don't like them. It is a whole different concept. Yes, they can make great wine. Yes, they have the classic regions for making Chardonnay. It doesn't mean I can't have fun with their politics, their laws, and their labeling. So as long as we are taking everything aside and we are going to have a noble day and I'm going to be gracious, there are two places where Chardonnay is truly king. One is the Burgundy region in France. And where Burgundy is some of the greatest Chardonnay and most expensive and most beautiful land on the planet. These are the Chardonnays that are designed to lay down 10, 15 years, and they just grow nuttier and more beautiful with each passing year. Chablis is a region north of France, cold, where it's grown. Chardonnay has this flinty, mineral, stony characteristic. For those of you who are looking for something that's good for brunch, once again, or good for a meal, literally anything you want to serve with it, Chablis cold is one of the most perfect Chardonnays you'll ever taste. Now, these are certainly different from what you expect out of Washington State, Australia, Santa Barbara. Any of those things you know are not going to be similar to what you're getting out of Burgundy and what you're getting out of Chablis. These wines are truly Chardonnay at their greatest expression. They have such flavor profiles. They're under-manipulated. They're not over-oaked. You get to taste the fruit, and this is where that true concept of terroir comes in. The French came up with it, and what terroir means is to taste the land. And certainly, anytime you open one of these Burgundies or open one of these Chablis, you can definitely taste the difference, and you can feel like your feet are in that limestone and in that chalk and all that calcareous mineral and all those great flavors. So, Darren, there, I have talked about Burgundy. I have talked about Chablis. I certainly do drink them when I have someone else to pay for them. But as a whole, it means I can avoid talking about the French. I will. Although I will throw this in there for those of you who are true Burgundian fans and for our red wine listeners who are turning up your nose, Cistercian monks built stone walls around their Clos Vougeot vineyard. Now, Clos Vougeot is one of the greatest Burgundies out there. People right now are thinking about their 63 sitting in their cellar, that beautiful Pinot Noir. Well, I've got news for you. The monks originally planted it to Chardonnay, and it was 100% Chardonnay in that area. It's only in the last 200 years that's become a home for Pinot. So what is considered one of the great red wine meccas in the world actually started out as Chardonnay, and I think it did the land some good. So, Darren, hope that helped out a little bit. And, of course, I'm willing to admit my faults when I have to. However, right now I don't, and I think I will mosey myself over to the wine line and talk to Corey from Maryland. Corey, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I know it's getting close to grilling season time, and I'm really excited about getting out on my grill. And I know that you're typically supposed to drink red wine with steaks. However, I was wondering if there was a specific white wine that would go very well with the steak. And if so, I'd love to hear the answer on your show.
Thank you, Corey. You know, it's amazing. Anytime you say the word grill and a man comes on the line, you know they're going to be excited. There's something about men going outside with really long metal sticks and a whole bunch of raw meat and just getting to burn things. I don't know what it is. Anyone have any idea? Please call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and let me know what this fascination is. I sat down and watched my fiancé take the grill apart for 3 hours. I asked him to put the steaks on. He said no, it would mess his grill up. So I'm not really sure where that connotation is, but someone I'm sure can enlighten me. Yes, perfect timing for the call, Corey. Thank you. Chardonnay can carry over with the grill. You're just going to have to find a bigger Chardonnay. And we've touched on a lot of different areas. This is where Napa Valley Chardonnay can certainly come in. I know Paul talked about the fact that sometimes Chardonnay are over-oaked, and I even have mentioned that effect myself. But when it comes down to it, oak does help add body to Chardonnay. And the more body you have with Chardonnay, the better its ability to stand up to grilled meats. And anytime you have an acid, think about the whole mesh between food and wine, even though I gloss over the food part as much as I can. The acid in wine is what helps break down the food and to give it that unique flavor and that great bonding experience. So definitely Chardonnay can go with steak. As anyone who's had dinner with me at a steakhouse will attest, it pours nicely and it blends all the way through. The key is you can't find a little wimpy $3 Chardonnay. When you're looking to do your grilling, this is when you have to step up and go to that top shelf and find one of the big oaky Napa. As I often recommend, Plump Jack's a good option. Beringer Sobrage Chardonnay is a good one. Groth is a good one. So, Corey, good luck with that, and hopefully you will actually use your grill for more than cleaning and staring at it, and you will find the perfect Chardonnay and meat combination. All right, more on this great topic and more from you when we return to the Crush.
A toast, yeah? To high treason. That's what these men were committing when they signed the Declaration. Had we lost the war, they would have been hanged, beheaded, drawn and quartered. Oh, my personal favorite. Had their entrails cut out and burned. So, here's to the men who did what was considered wrong in order to do what they knew was right.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
248-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Mozartovskis are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, continuing on my journey along the Chardonnay vine today. Yes, we are talking all about the noble Chardonnay grape and all its glory, and surprisingly enough, I have it drooled all over my mic, and my producer hadn't taken my Chardonnay glass out of my hand yet. It tends to make me a little more loquacious. It lets me have a little more fun.
But the French embassy did call again. So.
Again?
Yes.
Any more four-letter words?
They're upset.
Oh, okay. Translate when you can. Hey, did they tell us how to say cardonicum or
no,
whatever
they
it was?
No, they didn't want to tell you anything. They just wanted to...
Hey, if they're going to call them bitches,
it was a drive-by shouting.
They can at least be helpful. Anyway, speaking of being helpful, enjoyed the last show where we talked about Murphy Good and his outstanding job in the wine business. For the record, they make a great Island Block Chardonnay. For those of you who applied for the job, you might want to know that. But definitely still looking at your entries, and they are some great ones. So continuing to send them, please. The job is open till June 5th. And definitely want to see what you're putting your best foot forward with. You can do that at winecrush.com, or you can post it on the Facebook group, The Wine Crush. We are continuing on our quest on Chardonnay, and so occasionally we have to throw in a couple history facts like we have so far. Chardonnay, obviously, is one of those things where people say, okay, well, I now know why it's named, I know where it's grown, but what exactly is Chardonnay? Chardonnay is known around the world universally as Chardonnay. A lot of times when you get certain varietals, Tempranillo is a good one, Mourvèdre is a good one, even Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio is a good one. They're known by about 893 different names. For those of you who are studying wine and studying for your exams, good luck with Mourvèdre. It has literally 63 different names around the world. But fortunately, Chardonnay is universal. There's only really three other names it's known by, and even then, some of those are up for debate. One is Aubaine, the other is Beauneau, and the other is Melon Blanc. So pretty much, no matter whether you are looking from Austria to France to California to South Africa to Egypt, if you see something labeled Chardonnay, you're going to know exactly what it is. For those of you who are worldwide travelers, it certainly does make it easier to order off a wine list when you know what you're going to get. They are actually doing some DNA testing on Chardonnay. So now that you know it's Chardonnay worldwide, you can know that a long, long time ago, it was actually a descendant from Pinot Noir. It actually hybridized itself with another grape. Once again, one I can't pronounce, Guillaume, and Pinot Noir formed Chardonnay. Since Pinot Noir is the most easily mutated grape on the planet, it makes sense. And figuring Pinot Noir is a pretty decent substitute for a white wine, I can see where a great noble white variety would come from that. So there's your little history and biology lesson for the day. But right now, after all, it is all about you. So I'm going to go to Stephanie in Petaluma, California. Stephanie writes, what are your favorite growing regions for Chardonnay, and what producers would you recommend? See, I love you, listeners. You send me email so I can throw it back to you, and it comes back to me. It's all about me and Chardonnay. When you're looking at favorite regions, of course, we have touched on Chablis, and I told you about the great, wonderful flavors out of Chablis. Look for the Vineyard Four Charmes. Chablis has several Premier Crus. This is definitely one you need to look for. Burgundy, of course, great, great wines. They tend to be a little more expensive in Burgundy, but there is a region of Burgundy. It's south of Burgundy. It's called the Macon. And for those of you who see the wine Macon Village, for those of you who see Pouilly Fousse, these are truly Chardonnays, and they're ones you ought to look for. They're reasonable. And I think Louis Jadot does a great job in their Macon series and in the Pouilly Fousse. Of course, for those of you who want to spend a little bit more money, you definitely can go up to Pliny Montrachet. You can go to different villages. You can go to different types. A side note on that, we're talking about the French. Nothing's easy. If you're in Burgundy and you're drinking white wine, you are drinking Chardonnay. And it's not labeled Chardonnay on the bottle. It's labeled after the village. And that can get kind of confusing. So keep that in mind. Look for different villages. Good ones to look for. Macon Village, Macon, Pouilly Fousse. Those will definitely let you know that you're going to be drinking Chardonnay from those regions. Also, Australia, great, great region. Thank you, Murray Tyrell, from jumping that fence and giving us the great wines down there. I would look at Lindeman's, I would look at Jacobs Creek, and I would look at Wyndham Estate. Stephanie, I hope that helps. And of course, I have gotten off on my tangent all about me, and we have to take another small break, but more of your emails and calls when we return.
There's more Wine Crush in just a moment.
The days of wine and roses.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
Hi-hi!
Concrete.
Hi-ya!
Brick walls.
Hi-ya!
Trees.
Hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-yah time!
The Wine Crush.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I am Laura Lawson, and you have listened to me digress on my favorite topic all day, the great grape of Chardonnay. What's fun about having an open studio is two things. I have had someone stop by and look over my shoulder. The cross grape is Gouais, G-O-U-A-I-S. So yes, I butchered that in my first segment on pronunciation, but at least now we all have learned and we all have grown. Well, we're continuing to grow by taking calls and emails for you. For those of you who want to reach out and talk about today's topic, please do. 877-4CRUSH1. Or email us, especially all of you out there about the red wine passion. You can email us at info@winecrush.com. I'm going to take one last email before we wrap this great show up. And this is from Colleen in Statesboro, Georgia. Colleen writes, I used to love Sonoma-Cutrer Chardonnay, but now it doesn't taste the same. Is it me or the wine? Everybody tells me that tastes change. Is that true? Well, Colleen, eventually your palate does change. It morphs, just like mine moved from Sutter Home White Zinfandel into the great Chardonnays I love today. But what is also true, and this is true not just for any variety specifically to Chardonnay, but for all wines and all grape varieties, the wine is affected, especially Chardonnay, by the winemaker, by the season, and by the vintage. So for those of you, Sonoma-Cutrer is a great option, who loved this wine 10 years ago and don't find it as appealing as you do now, keep in mind that Chardonnay is probably one of the most manipulated wines out there. It's great, something I recommend if you find a Chardonnay you love. Let's use Murphy Good, the Island Blot, because we all love Dave Reddy because he's going to give us new jobs. But past that, Dave Reddy, if he has a style and you like the wine he makes, keep up with him. Find out if should, obviously he'll never leave Murphy Good, but should he do another project? Should he pick something else? Then follow him because he has a style you like. Winemakers can make or break Chardonnays a lot of time, and sometimes that's the argument against Chardonnay, saying anything but. But when it comes down to it, Chardonnay should be an expression of place. Yes, the winemaker is going to put his stamp on it, and some of us really love it. I will follow Ed Sobraja till the day I die. But it all hinges on what you like and what you can taste in your profiles. So, Colleen, has the wine changed? Absolutely. It's up for you to decide whether or not it's for the best. If you liked it before, find the old winemaker, find what he's doing now, and you can find your favorite Chardonnay again. That's the one great thing. Styles always stay the same. Well, I'm Laura Lawson, and you have listened to another wonderful edition of The Crush today. So we've got to wrap it up, but in doing so, I remind you, sip socially. Drink responsibly. Drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.